I was trying to convince myself that this is what God was calling me to do.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. Episode 32, Life After Addiction. We're back, baby.
Big 32, man.
Big 32. You know, I'm 32 Magic years Johnson, old. Magic Johnson, war number 32. One of my favorite players of all time.
I'm 32
time.
Years old, man. I think that's a little more significant. I think there's a little more power in that, you know?
They retired his jersey. He was on the dream.
To my mom, the number 32 is more significant because I'm 32.
Okay. Right? Okay. Well,
Mama knows best. That is like a...
Surprisingly, we'll ask her. Come on in. We have her here.
She just pops out.
No, man. Hey, just a shout out. Last week, we had an awesome podcast with Caleb Heumann. And he had mentioned on it he was going to be graduating or something. Yeah. So fill us in.
Absolutely, man. So his wife sent me the video and the pictures. He graduated cum laude from the University of Texas. And Carl's going to pop a little picture up right here. Just holding that diploma high, baby. Just, man.
Congratulations,
how much he's
man.
Overcome from where he was when he came through here to see what God's doing in his life now.
Yeah.
Man, that's hope. That's restoration. That's power. That's resurrection power. And that increases our faith. I tell guys all the time who come through our program, like, you guys, watching you navigate the conditions of which your life is in right now, like where you're at personally, and seeing you just walk through faithfully, man, and just endure trials and struggles and walk through them with such grit and tenacity, like, that increases our faith. That inspires us. So to see a story like that, man, and just to see where you are right now, Caleb, man, that blesses us abundantly, more so than you know.
Yeah, and that's no joke, man. Shout out to Caleb going back to school and at an older age, right?
Deal.
He's not an old man, but he's not 18 anymore.
Yeah.
With family and full-time job, and he's serving at his church, and ministries in the prison, and kids, and entrepreneur stuff, and to do that, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Said he's going to LSU to get his graduate degree, master's degree. So
go Tigers.
Come on, baby. Go Tigers.
It's G-A-U-E-X or G-A. It's not G-O.
Right.
They spell it different.
I think it's G-E-A-U-X.
Yeah. So go Tigers.
Louisiana.
Awesome, man. If y'all haven't seen that episode, go check it out with Caleb Heumann, doing great things.
That's right.
A little callback, man. Just a shout out because he said he was going to do it and he did it. And we showed you a little picture. That's awesome, man. That's a really big deal.
That's right.
This week, it seems as though even you know, some of the alumni that watch the pod on a regular basis, there's just a theme that keeps coming up. And I talk with over the years, guys, all the time about your calling.
Yeah.
What's my calling? How do I discern this calling? How do I know what God's wanted me to do? How do I know it's not me that wants to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And so we thought we would talk about it this week. We talk about how to discern a call from God, a call from the Lord. We're wanting to, and we've been talking about this, but you don't have that GoPro running, right? Okay. Wanting to get Carl more involved, Carl, getting some more in him, because every episode we talk about him, we want to have a camera and a mic on him. So this would be one that we probably should have wired him up with.
Yeah.
But
it'd be good.
But yeah, as we jump in, I just want to make sure it's biblical. And so I'll kind of lay a foundation, and I want you to go through some of these things, and maybe unpack them. But biblically and experientially, what I would say a calling is, one, it's someone who is a believer, and the Spirit of God is alive and at work in them, right? The resurrection power is alive and at work in them. And they begin to have an angst, a longing, a desire to bring God glory, make his name famous by using giftings or things that he's given them, or just a gnawing on them. Now, the reason that I think that we need to have discerning spirits, because a lot of times we have that very same feeling or emotion when it's something that we want to do, right?
Yep.
And after God saved you and he's transformed you, a lot of times that can be confused and cloudy because we're not trying to do things that are evil anymore or that we want to do. It could be, hey, I want to go start a barbecue shop and the proceeds go to support a ministry, or 10% of my business goes to a ministry, you know, something like that, which is righteous. And you maybe are good at cooking barbecue and this must be from the Lord because I'm going to give this money away kind of gig, you know. And how do you discern that if that is from the Lord or if that is something that you want to do? And I think biblically it would be if it's in line with God's word, and this is just fly by and let you unpack it.
Yeah.
If it has to be in line with God's word, it never can contradict God's word, first and foremost. If it ever does, it's not what you're doing. That's not from God. God will not contradict himself in his word. Number two, you will have that angst, like I said. You will have that gnawing at your spirit, at your gut, that God is calling you to do something. And then you flesh it out. And then number three, on top of that, you'll have people in your life that God's put in your life that will confirm that calling in one way. And it might not be in the way you think it is. It might not be like, hey, Johnny, yes, you need to go and start the barbecue store. And yes, 10% is exactly right. I feel that. I confirm that. God's led me there, and I am confirming that. It might be on the negative. It might be, and I have a story that I'll share about how God confirmed something and not a good thing. I guess it was a good thing, but it was from a dark spot that was confirmed that I'm not supposed to go and do something. So there'll be confirmation from people around you. You should seek good godly counsel, line with God's word, and you need to have that in your spirit as well. I can't tell you your calling. I can confirm your calling,
right?
Through God's word, through prayer and supplication and wanting to make sure. But your calling is a calling that God's put in your life, right?
Yeah.
So unpack that a little more. I know it just kind of, you know, real fast.
Yeah, so when we discussed what we were going to talk about, you know, I was thinking through that, and I just wrote down maybe a couple or a few practical points. And the first one, you know, your calling is to trust Jesus.
Mm.
Your calling is to walk with Jesus. Your calling is to continue to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, you're invited to trust him personally, not just with certain things that you desire to trust him with, but with everything, in all things, in which things that, man, I may not see how I can give that to him in areas of my life where I'm struggling with believing that God really has my best interest at heart when it comes to this, or that he knows best with a lot of situations. And I'll read my first scripture, but Matthew 11:28-30, you know, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, we come to him with everything, you know. There are times in my life where I find myself, I have a personal agenda, and it's happened numerous times since being here.
Me
dude.
Too, man.
I have a personal agenda, and I try to get my agenda within God's will, and I try to fit it in there, and I try and fight it, and I try and navigate the process, and I try and come up with all these reasons and excuses as to why this is God's will for my life, you know. I even talked to you the other day, mm-hmm. like, man, my plan for once I graduated school, this a good part of this last year was leaving, and I had my reasons for it personally, whether it be family or certain things. And yeah, on the surface, it's like a righteous thing that I planned on doing, but when I really, man, took it to my prayer closet, and I would be in his word, and I would talk to my plan with my plans to certain people, it's like I was trying to convince myself that this is what God was calling me to do.
Yeah.
I was trying to convince myself that, man, the agenda that I've come up with that is a righteous goal, right? A righteous thing is what God's called me to do. And I could just never get there spiritually, man. And I told God when I came here this last time, like, God, I will never leave here because of an emotional decision.
Yeah.
That my emotions are leading me out of here, and I desire to do something else. Because at the root of what he was calling me to do in those moments, it was the fact that, man, I wanted to do something else.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. And my mentor always told me, and tells other people, you don't ever run from a calling. You run to a calling, right?
Yeah.
So not running away from something. And if you boil it down to really find out if it's me that wants this, is it because I'm running from something? I'm tired of it. I'm burnt out, something mm-hmm. like that. But I think it's, I think it's important. There's so much scripture. God called you. He'll equip you, right? There's so many of this. But you're talking about, that's obviously if you are operating inside of a calling, you're trying to go to another one. But, I mean, even as like an example, and I'm not trying to put anybody's business out there, but just a conversation I had is I don't feel worthy to these people around me are wanting me to do this, serve in this capacity or anything like that. And I just, man, I don't want my pride to leak in. I don't know that I'm ready for that. And it's like, so that's a discerning of a calling too. Like, man, God's put something on your heart. And now that you're doing it. So not only those natural feelings that we have in a fallen nature of a world of whether it be I'm unworthy or doubt or fear, like you said, number one thing, you've got to trust Christ. Mm-hmm. He's sovereign. But on the other side of that, it could be resentment towards that. Now I'm pushing that away. If you're in a calling now, and you know whatever it is, but ultimately, that's our flesh. And then you want to add an adversary that's going to whisper in your ear, right? Mm-hmm. Because if he could keep you or I from walking in the calling that God has for us that will produce the most fruit for the kingdom, that will give us the most joy, peace, patience, walking in his spirit, walking in obedience. If he can prevent from that or confuse that, he's checking a box, man. He knows he loses in the end. He knows Revelation. But if he can, he hates us because we are made in the Imago Dei. We are made in God's image and he hates us. He hates community with God, connection with God. And he hates that we start. He hates what we do here at S2L.
Yeah.
Hates it. Families are restored here, to, you know, because of the work that God's doing at S2L. Whole families. Man, and so you add that to the mix, man. A calling and walking into it correctly could be extremely hard. So all that unworthiness amplified. All of that, maybe the other side, resentment towards a place, amplified. All of the confusion of what I'm supposed to do and I'm not supposed to do, amplified. Because of our nature and our fallen flesh, but also we have an enemy that hates people that are obedient and walks in Christ. And so my scripture, first scripture is John chapter 15, verse 16. This is Jesus talking. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." And I bring that up just because I'm all the unworthiness talk, all the fear talk. We don't have a spirit of fear, right? All of this stuff is God saying, hey, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I'll equip you. And I think one of the podcasts at some point, might be next week, someone brought it up, or maybe it was just on that meeting. We had a Zoom meeting. Hey, very special project coming. There's that dangle of a carrot, very special, amazing thing coming up. But it maybe was in that meeting where someone was talking about he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, right? And so reminding you that God's sovereign and he chose you. He saved you to send you.
Yeah.
And the giftings that you have, you're going to be a part of a body that is going to be beneficial and bringing God glory and his purposes and his will, and that's it. And so, man, I'll kind of shut up for a second, but there's so many layers to this when we're talking about, especially our potential audience, whether it be someone who's just out of the program, been out of the program, been grinding, families of that, or whoever listens to this, man. I know that, hey, shout out to whoever, gosh, I wish I had her name, but a listener from California, very sweet email the other day. I shared it with the guys in the room just about how it's encouraging you and you found freedom in Christ and that you tell everyone you know about it. Man, I wish I'm gonna pop your name up here. Well, no, I won't actually. I don't want a HIPAA violation. But hey, you know who you are.
That's amazing.
That's received, and when those kind of things come in, it fires us up to make more. And so, hey, thank you for that. Don't know why I went on that rabbit trail.
No, it's good. It's good.
But I don't. I've lost track. But where was I?
You're about to pass it over, I think. I mean, that's what it was leading into, but
he's like, "I'm ready. I'm jumping in."
No, that's what you were heading into.
Yes,
but no, so like the first step, like I said, you know, would be come to Jesus, walk with Jesus, trust Jesus, and then you know, the second would be faithfulness, man, remaining faithful and being a good steward of what God has called you to now in the current season that you are. You know, learn to be faithful with the small things that God has given you, no matter how minute you may think they are, but remaining faithful with all that he's given to you in this season. I feel like, you know, our culture in general is such this microwave Christianity that, like, we're always wanting the next thing and the next thing and the next season. Then I get this, then I want the next thing, and then I want. So all along the way, right, instead of remaining steadfast and being diligent and being a good steward of what's in front of me, I get so focused on what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next. Well, Ryan's will comes into play when I'm always thinking what's next, what's next. I try to map out what it looks like, and you can do a good job at doing that and convincing yourself that this is what he's called me to. When I put my whole effort and energy into finding something, what is it? Where is it at? Okay, there it is. That's it. No, maybe. And whenever we're navigating in that, it's basically a selfish posture that we have. And Luke 16:10 says, you know, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. And it just reminds me of, like, okay, God's will for my life right now in this season where he's called me to is to be faithful and a good steward of what he's given me. And not to always be trying to find the next thing and search for the next thing and run to the next thing. And I've went through many seasons like that here. Like I said, I've experienced that. But whenever I get on the other side of that season of being in that place, I see with clarity that, like, man, I'm doing everything that I was trying to chase and find right here and now.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the big things that I take away from that is God's time is not our time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were prepping for this a little bit, you brought up Paul and going to Tarshish.
Yep, Tarsus.
For 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, microwave culture, it's like, man, I want to, you know, and I feel that. I've served here for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it feels like 30.
Yeah. I've been here like four and it feels like 50.
I mean, I'm looking around at my friends and it's like, why do you have so much gray at them? But... so I get it. We do live in a culture, and that's, you know, that's media. That's everything that's forming that, right? That's microwave culture, not a crock pot. And God's timing does not dictated by culture. And he has a good work for you, and I think that's a good word. You know, it might take 6 years in Tarshish, like Paul, or it might take 6 minutes. It might take 60 years, you know? You know, yeah, I mean, I just constantly love, patience, be still and know that I am God. My name will be made famous or glorified in all the nations, the verse says. Like, the first part of it is be still and know I am God.
Yeah.
That's terrifying, like, be still. But then he's like, hey, be still, my name will be made famous among the nations. He's like, my will be done. I don't know. I definitely think there was another piece that kind of hit me while you're talking, because it's also inside of that, guys coming out of the program, my own personal story, and I could share it. A lot of times, the things we beg God for when he gives them to us, we're on to the next, right? And it was a season for me. I don't recall how many years ago, but it was just when, like, you know, I've always had my yes on the table with God at S2L. And, man, he was faithful to, from intern to group leader to the coach to pastor to, you know, third in charge to, you know, all just, it was just, my yes was on the table and I wanted leadership. I wanted to have what God wanted me to have, but I felt like he gifted me a leader. And so I would ask for these things. And I'm pretty sure it was at the point when I was, the board had voted me CEO. And I don't know how long after that, but I got a call from my pastor, and my wife came in, and they had asked us to go and pastor a church in another country. And I had gone with them on this trip beforehand and saw the place, and I wasn't really sure that was what was going to happen. I wasn't going to be offered this position or asked to take this position. And man, when you're as my mentor as well, and when my wife and I are in the room, I didn't feel very threatened by it because my wife's very close to her family, and I knew there was no way she would go. So we told them we'd pray about it. We were very sincere. We're going to fast and pray about it. That's another thing about discerning a calling. Fast. Don't tell anyone you're fasting. But the reason is, man, when you get this hunger pang, you almost become, things begin to slow down. Like, if when you're on day two of a fast, maybe day three, depending if you're a big old boy, But there's something about a laser focus that happens. Mm. Have you noticed that? Like the hunger, the first day's miserable. Yeah. But then there's something that's almost like, almost even like warfare. Like you're so laser focused, I guess the body does it. God knew what it, how he designed the body. And you become laser focused because now the stock market doesn't matter. I need to go get food. And so your laser focus is kind of the way I think that.
Yeah.
And so fast and do that if you're discerning a calling. But we did decide to do that. We fasted. And then in the middle of the fast, Katie looked at me and was like, I yield to you. I will leave. And I'm prepared to leave. And at that point, we were gone. Like in my mind, mentor, pastor, I'm going to pastor a church. It was kind of like another country adventure. My wife's on board now. I was gone. I was just gone, you know, but I wanted to commit to keep praying about it because God had called me to S2L, undoubtedly called me to that. And I just wanted to make sure I was released. And just a story, and I don't share names or anything, but I began to feel like God was doing something at S2L, and it was just the beginning. And I was like, okay, but Adam doesn't have to be me. I still feel that today, by the way, that God's doing something here, and it's just the beginning. And it looks way different than it did when I was dealing with this.
Amen.
And man, it was in this moment I began to feel like that, just that hint of God's doing something here. But I would justify it. Doesn't have to be me. I'm going on this adventure. I'm going to be the pastor of this church with my wife in another country and my mentor, everybody, you know. And I got a call, and I don't remember exactly what day, but I know that feeling of God's doing something here. And it was a guy who'd come through the program had just attempted suicide. And I hadn't talked to him. I don't know. I don't even know how he had my number. And he said, Adam, I'm so glad you answered. I just attempted suicide and woke up from it, and you're the first person I call. What do I do? And then all of that hit me again. Like, God, I begged you for this. Mm-hmm. I asked you for this. I wanted this kind of ministry. I wanted to be a leader at this kind of ministry. And that call just broke me. Like, that call did more for me than I was able to do for him, right? The guy's thriving, by the way. He's doing really good. And life's different, so side note. But, man, that was a moment, right? That was a moment that if I didn't respond there and then, I knew that was enough. You know, God let me know I'm not releasing you. If I would have waited 2 days, I would have justified that would have just happened and he could have called anyone. I would have just justified. I would have not have seen it for what it was if I would have waited 2, 3 days, 4 days and kept praying about it, kept fasting about it. So, I mean, very quickly I talked to my wife. She goes, I felt the same thing.
Mm.
And, I mean, it wasn't like my family's here. I'm not staying close to my family. I was like, Adam, I wasn't going to say anything. But I feel the same thing today. Immediately called and told the people that were asking me about it. So I didn't delay it. Immediately, bang, bang, bang. And then, you know, the rest of the series, now all of a sudden, S2L is in a radically different place, and we're just getting started, man. You know, it's pretty wild. So discerning that, walking through that personally, I know the feeling that you're having if you're trying to discern them, and then just counseling with guys that are trying to make the same thing. One, let me remind everyone, what a beautiful day. A beautiful day that you're discerning the calling of God and not out looking for dope, right? What a,
come on.
Praise God. Amen. In these moments. Praise Amen. God in these moments.
Absolutely.
But in that, I feel you, right? I feel the angst of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's good, man. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoy hearing that. So my final point, man, you know, the first one's come to Jesus, walk with Jesus, trust him. The second one would be faithfulness, remaining faithful along the way, being a good steward of the things that he's given you. And then the third one would be godly counsel and fellowship.
Yeah.
And the importance of it, you know, Proverbs 19:20-21 says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You know, godly counsel is essential to walking in the way of wisdom. And I'll go back to how I knew when I would get to a place in my life. We were talking before the podcast first, you know, there's very seldom where I will tell somebody, man, God's called me to this. There's three things I know God's called me to right now. And that was this ministry, that school, and that's leaving a legacy of Christ behind for my family. I know he's called me to those things
That's cool.
within discipleship and stuff like that. But you get what I'm saying. And I was thinking back to times where I felt God was calling me to something, and it was my own personal agenda, and how I was able to distinguish, obviously through prayer, you know, like Homer said, through fasting, through his word, but like something even more so than that, even tangible, like I noticed within myself, I would not want to share those plans with godly counsel in my life, with spiritual men who I've been walking with. I didn't want to share that with them because I would knew there would come some opposition. And I don't mean that like an assault, but like some wise counsel, some like, okay, let's talk through this. Okay, let's navigate through this. Let's talk about the pros, the cons, everything in between. Where did that calling come from? Where do you think it's going? Where do you think it leads, or whatever it may be? I wouldn't want to share nothing.
Yeah.
At all. I wouldn't want to talk about my plans. I wouldn't want to discuss it. I wouldn't want to tell anybody my vision. I wouldn't even want to tell anybody what God's put on my heart.
Yeah.
And I noticed it was like, well, there was, because there was a lot of Ryan's agenda within that. And that's Ryan good. Wanted to do this and didn't want to do this anymore. And so I've been humbled quite a few times since being here, because my plans were different than what God had called me to in those moments, you know.
Yeah.
But exercising that humility and really responding to those personal convictions. We talk about that a lot. There's a lot of times I've even noticed in my life where I'll pray for an answer, but really I already know.
It's, yeah.
it's just not what I wanted. But he's convicted my heart. I know what he's called me to do and where he's called me to go. But it doesn't align with what I want to do. So it's like, man, I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to seek. I'm going to continue. And I'm looking for my answer, not his answer. I'm looking for my answer.
Yeah, that's really good. And I mean, you touched on something with, I remember, and I've had a lot of these, not like as big and as distinct as the story I told. So that's why I told that story.
Yeah.
But in, I've had a lot of opportunities arise over a decade, right? Mm-hmm. But in that one specifically, I remember, when you go and seek counsel, wise biblical Christian counsel from godly men, if you're a man, godly women, if you're a woman, and I think you can cross-pollinate that perhaps in this scenario, but be wise about that. But I reached out to two godly men that weren't associated with my church or ministry. At the time, one was Pastor Ron. He was not at S2L at this time. He had served at S2L before, but when I had talked to him, he was, you know, really big in real estate. And I just wanted to bounce it off of him and say, hey, man, I know it's going to be hard for you to, like, tell me any guidance unless you directly hear from the Lord, because they're two righteous things. But I would appreciate you praying through this with me, praying for me as I discern. And if God hits you with something, let me know. If you feel that there's a, you know, please do me that. And then my buddy Seth that I talk about in Knoxville, pastor in Knoxville. He's more of a peer. He's my age. We were college roommates, but he's one of the most righteous dudes I know. And so I wanted him to be praying for me in this aspect too. And so having that covered and smothered and you know, we got to the point where we were hinting at it with family too, right? We didn't want to scare family, but it was at the point where we were asking them to pray. And that means it was at a pretty good level. So
yeah,
asking godly people to shower that and cover that with prayer is just very wise, because prayer is important.
Yeah.
This last thing I want to read, just with our, which if I think there's probably a good majority of people watching the podcast right now, they're very intrigued by this, but have no clue what their calling is.
Right.
I think some, this God hopefully uses this to be like, thanks guys. And they're making a call today or tomorrow. And like, I know I need to walk into this.
Yeah. You
know? But for those that don't know, I want you to know that doesn't mean that you're not gifted. It doesn't mean that you're not super spiritual. It just means that you're not aware of something. And here's what it is. And this is a verse, if you're an alumni or you've ever been in any kind of Christian recovery, you've heard this. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. But listen carefully. Therefore, let me go back to 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, here it is, and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Your ministry is reconciliation. Well, what does that mean? Glad you asked. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He's committed to us this message of reconciliation. Oh, man. Committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's the most pure gospel verse, one sentence verse that you can do. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Well, what does that mean? You break out the gospel. Why do I need to be righteous? Well, the message of reconciliation, the ambassador for Christ, is your calling. You are reconciled to Christ, whether it be, and I think when I do that, it messes with the focus, so it's probably going to annoy Carl later, but I got a picture of Carl already, a video of Carl, he's probably annoyed. That is your calling. Done. Relieve your stress. I don't know what to do. Well, that's what you do. The how you do it, man, that takes some prayer. And I think I've talked about this on podcast before, and I want to kind of wrap it up here. But, man, if you don't know your giftings, that's another podcast. But write them down, right? Journal. Write down things that you're good at and things that you really enjoy that spur your affection for Christ, right? And that could be, man, when I read in the mornings, it really stirs me. Okay, well, maybe I'm a morning person and I like books. Or if you're good with your hands and you like to build things and create and it just draws you to God, identify, write down a list of these things. Just do the work. Mm-hmm. Put it in. And maybe something pops off the page. And on the other side, things that you're not good at and that you don't feel like you would be beneficial to the kingdom. Not that you X now all those out, because I heard the joke, you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans, right? And so don't ex-nay these things on this side, but you put the list out and maybe something comes off. Oh man, I'm supposed to go and be a teacher or whatever. Yeah. That seems silly, but putting in the work, you know, your calling, it's not what, it's how, and do the work to know how. And again, get the confirmation of the people around you. If you feel like, okay, maybe I am a teacher, make sure that you're communicating that with the godly people and go through everything that we already discussed in this episode, but put the work in. Be an ambassador for Christ. Have this ministry of reconciliation.
Mm. Yeah, last thing I'll say, you know, it just brings me back to that verse God laid on my heart. I think it was 2 years ago when Carl and I brought in the new year
January 1.
You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Knowing, like, notice that, man, that's being grateful for where I'm at now.
Yes.
Not always trying to figure out where he's taking me and where I'm going. That's like, hey, your posture right now is being grateful and thankful and rejoicing for where I am now, for where he has called me to right now. I don't always have to be focused on where I'm going and where I'm headed and when I'm going to get there and what season's next and what's, man, it's rejoicing always now, praying without ceasing now, and giving thanks in all circumstances now. When that's the posture of a heart, it changes everything. It changes the perspective on where he's called me to now, because I'm like, oh, God, thank you, man.
Yeah.
I was praying just to not do drugs, and now you've given me a ministry of reconciliation. You've given me men from all over the country to minister to. You've given me a podcast to be on. You've given me school that I'm going to go to. You've given me so much more than I could have ever asked for. And yet Ryan over here on a bad day, I bet, man, I'm ready for the next one, man. I'm ready for the next season. I'm ready to pack it up. I'm ready to get on out of here. And it's like, even like now in this moment, like God's ministering to me through this, because I can get so sidetracked so easily. And like, gosh, man, if we could just have that posture, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, man, God is going to reveal what your calling is. And in due time, man, that's going to happen.
Yeah. And what that does, it also helps you stay in line with the fruits of the Spirit, and you live life with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. How patient is our God,
bro,
to deal with us like people?
I mean, just with us too in general, you know, let alone just the entire world.
And it's like, the grass is always greener somewhere else. And I just told a story about the things I beg God for, he gives me. And I'm like,
yeah, but God, I don't have
no,
that.
I'm packing them up. We're going overseas. You know, it's like, huh? It's like,
yeah,
I ain't done with you yet, young blood. But
yeah
man, I just, God's patient. There's grace. No one bats 1,000 on this, right? Our minds, we're flawed humans, right? We live in a fallen world, and we have to put to death pride and fear and all these other things. And when we live in that place of praying without ceasing and being humble, man, we can walk in the Spirit and the giftings of that Spirit. And then that, I think there's a lot of clarity and not a lot of confusion there. Anything else?
Man, I think, I don't know. Lord's moving, man. Lord's Spirit's moving. God is good.
Carl, anything else from you? He says, hallelujah, dude. Give me a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Awesome. Well, that's Life After Addiction, and you better believe it.
Come on.
Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Recovery. If you have any questions you'd like answered on the podcast, email them to info@springtolife.net. That's info@springtolife.net. And for more information on addiction recovery, visit S2LRecovery.org.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.